Remember a number of years ago, I had two kids. We had six ultimately, but two young children. And my wife was pregnant, and she had problems. And we couldn't live where we were living, and God led us to go to West Palm Beach, Florida. And we went down there and got an apartment. I managed an apartment down there for my father-in-law. And while we were there, I remember shortly after we got there, and I was a young guy with two kids, and I was teaching at a Christian school and was a youth pastor in a church down there, Calvary Baptist Church, West Palm Beach. That went on for about a year and a half. But while I was down there, I had one of these coolers, like igloo coolers, red and white, and then another igloo cooler, like two different coolers that went together. And somebody just went to my apartment and stole those coolers. And I just remember the anger. And I said, I'm going to get those back. I didn't go to the police or anything, but I just started questioning people. I should have been a detective. I started questioning people, and then they questioned people. I just did detective work. And finally, I found where the cooler was, and I just took it back. I just took it back. And so I'm thinking of how to pay that thief back. And this morning, our scripture in John 10 talks about the thief, Satan, and how you can pay him back for things that he takes from you. And I knew a man a number of years ago, actually did his funeral back 11 years ago, but this man was married, and his wife cheated on him. And she left him. And when she left him, she really hurt him and left him holding the bag. And she stole from him what a wife is supposed to give you, and that is companionship. Companionship. It's not good for man to be what? Alone. Companionship. And she left him and gave her companionship to another man. And this guy lost his wife, but then he let that get him, and he eventually drifted away from God, from his profession of faith. He got into social drinking. Then he got to become an alcoholic, and it got worse and worse for him. Eventually, he lost his house, his possessions. Even he lost his children because he couldn't provide for them. And he got very, very addicted to even gambling, trying to strike it rich, make that big hit, you know, play that lottery, get that big hit. And instead of working faithfully for his money, and all of this, that thief, the devil, had stolen from this man. You know, Satan doesn't like it when you're blessed. He doesn't like it when you're joyous. And he wants to steal it for you. And he is a salesman. He could sell icicles to Eskimos. You know, he is a salesman. And he owns this world that we live in right now. And he wants to sell you on what the world has to offer. And watch out, because he's a thief. You know, certain salesmen, they want to steal from you. Watch out from the devil. So when these things happened to that man, he felt the devil had stolen everything in life that he held dear. And he began to even lose his desire to live. There's something called psychogenic death. Have you ever heard of that? Psychogenic death. And that's a theory that a person loses your desire to live and you will yourself dead. And you actually die young. That's why sometimes a husband will die and a wife will die right after. Or a wife will die and a husband will die right after. Or something like that. I don't believe God normally wants that. He wants you to go on. And whatever is true of this theory of psychogenic death, this man that I'm talking to you about, he died at a relatively young age. And just before his death, photos of him seem to show that he had lost his desire to live. If you look at the pictures of him, he'd lost his desire to live. So please, please take your Bible this morning and turn to John 10:10 and follow as I read the text for this message this morning, how to pay that thief back. John 10 and verse number 10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." And I'm preaching from this text, John 10:10, how to pay that thief back. And I want to say three things. Number one, by seeing what the thief takes from you. By seeing what the thief takes from you. You know, while I had this guy's funeral, the guy had sent a card to one of his children, one of his adult children. And I shared that card, and he had sent it to his adult child just before he died. And he wrote in the card, and I'm reading because I wrote it down what he wrote in the card. He said, quote, "The devil stole everything from me. Pay him back. The devil stole everything from me. Pay him back." You know what? I'm thinking of this guy. I had his funeral. The devil did steal everything from him. Why don't you pay him back this morning? Why don't you pay that devil back, that thief back? You know, the Bible tells us that right in the beginning, when the devil saw the world and how beautiful it was, and how Adam and Eve had such a great marriage, and they had such great riches, and they had such a great relationship to God, he was ready to sell them a lie and steal it all from them and kill them. And our first parents was stole. Our first parents were stolen from by the devil and murdered by the devil. And because of that, you are born into a world that's a spinning ball of misery and sin in the main. But yet the devil will make it look so good to you. Can I say something about the devil? He uses sin. What is sin? Sin is falling short of what God wants for your life. What God has spoken of in his word for your life, and you miss that. You fall short of it. The devil wants you to miss out on what God has for you. He wants you to do that by sin in your life. And sin will rob from you. And someone has said that sin makes a person poor, but God's grace will make you rich. I believe that. Sin made me poor. Sin made me go low, but God made me rich. I'll say another thing about sin. Sin makes you go lower than you ever planned to go. It will make you pay more than you ever planned to pay. And it will keep you in its grip longer than you plan to stay. I was talking to my daughter. We were talking about homes and talking about mortgages. And she said she doesn't have a mortgage anymore, my oldest daughter in Florida. And she's so glad she doesn't have a mortgage. The Zukowskis were just saying, "We don't have a mortgage, haven't had a mortgage." What a blessing it is. You know what a mortgage is? Mortician. Mort means, I guess, morte in Spanish, wouldn't that? Will it be death? Yeah. Morte. Death. And gauge, mortgage, is grip. So a mortgage is a death grip on you. And just having it can really psychologically work on you. So it's good to get free of that. Sin has a death grip and won't let us go. And Satan is the thief that brought that in. And I want to let you see today that the stealing of the thief is something that we need to see. And also I want to show you that the Lord Jesus came into the world so you can pay that thief back. And the Lord restores to you what the thief Satan took from you. And yet most people, listen to me, are following Satan, not Jesus, the good shepherd. They're following Satan's plan, the plan of sin. And here's what Jesus said: the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I think of the Bible where it says in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. You know what? Jesus doesn't change. God doesn't change. And he has good gifts still to give. He has complete gifts to give you. The greatest gift I ever received was when the Lord Jesus showed me from the Bible that I was going to die, and we all are, but I was going to go to hell after I died to pay for my sin. Most people don't even see that. You may be here today. Have you ever seen that not only have you sinned against God and come short of what you should be as a person, but because of that sin, you've earned death for yourself, and he will pay you, and the good won't make up for the bad. You still will pay for the sin. Be like a guy that committed murder, and he does some good deeds, some community service. He goes before the judge, and the judge says, you have life in prison without the possibility of parole. And the guy says, yeah, but Your Honor, since I murdered this person, I did this. He's going to say, it doesn't matter. Same thing at the judgment for your sin. Doesn't matter what you've done. You still have to pay for your sin. The wages of sin is death, and the second death is to be cast into the lake of fire, and that's what's going to happen. That's what Brother Z is preaching on downstairs to the teenagers on hell this morning. Satan had taken away from Adam and all of Adam's children, including all of you here, he had taken away from us the gift of everlasting life. Do you know that Adam was given a gift of everlasting life along with Eve? That we, if Adam wouldn't have sinned, listen to me, we would be living in paradise on earth. There'd be no death in your families, no sickness, no sorrow. It would be perfect. But Satan got Eve to believe a lie, and then got Adam to sin against God because of his love for Eve. And he got us all. What a salesman! Don't let that thief rob from you, steal from you, destroy your life, destroy your family. Pay him back. Pay him back, first of all, by seeing what the thief takes from you. And Satan does not want you to see what he has done. And because once you see where you're headed, you'll turn to Christ. The big problem I have is not getting people saved by turning to Christ, but getting people to see they need to turn to Christ to get saved, by getting people to see that they're on their way to hell. Most people are. The broad way, Jesus said, it leads to destruction. Doesn't matter if you're a member of the church. Doesn't matter if you come from a Christian family. Doesn't matter if you do good things and you have good intentions. You know, the road to hell is paved with good intention. Satan does not want you to receive this knowledge that you're condemned, so that you won't turn to Jesus. Because if you turn to Jesus as a beggar and say, Lord, save me, he's not going to let you die and go to hell. He's the good shepherd. He did just opposite of what Satan did. He gave his life to give us back the gift of life, and not just temporary life, eternal life. I received that gift when I was 17 years of age. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Today, oh, it would be great if not only you come to church, but you'd receive that gift of eternal life and you'd become a born again child of Almighty God. But he gives you other gifts. I received another gift, and that was the gift of being a pastor teacher. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, and he gave some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He gave me a gift, the pastor teacher gift. And what is it for? It's for you. It's for this church. I've been using it for you for the last 48 years. Now, I could have just not used it, right? But it will bless your life. And it's for the perfecting of the saints. What does that mean? That you'd become a mature, serving believer, a mature, ministering saint. So I used that gift in 1978, September. This church called me to be the under-shepherd of this flock here. And you know what? I benefited by, for about 7 years, putting myself under the ministry of our first pastor teacher, Charles Ware. It benefited my life, my home, my whole life. And I have watched people that have put themselves under the gift of a pastor teacher in this church. And I've watched how it benefited their marriage, their home, their lives, their children. It's incalculable. You can't quantify it in terms of value. Just like the Bible says about a woman that's a godly woman, her price is far above rubies. But a woman that's ungodly, she causes rottenness in your bones like you got bone cancer. What a difference, right? But that is God's gift. He gives us the gift of a pastor and teacher. And you know what? Satan has tried to take me out of this pulpit in 1984, 1996, and 2017. I've had three major attacks on my life trying to get me out of here from Satan. And the Good Shepherd kept me here. And those that stayed with it, they benefited from it. And I want to encourage you to see what Satan's trying to do, try to get you away from the church, trying to get you away from the preacher, and see those that have stayed and how they have benefited from that pastor-teacher gift, and stay with the stuff. How about the gift of a life partner? When I went to Bible college, I saw all these Christian girls, and I said, mercy, I went to public school, I didn't see all these pretty girls. Lord, give me a woman! And I saw this one girl. She wasn't even in college yet. Her dad worked on staff. She was a senior in Abington Heights High School. And I said, okay, she's got good perfume, looks good. Her sister liked me, and she liked me, and that caused major problems. And I started to go with her, this girl. But you know what? It wasn't God's will for me. He didn't want me with that girl. He didn't want me. He had a wife for me. He wanted me to focus on his will. And the Bible says in the Psalm, He gave them what they wanted, but sent leanness into their souls. And that's what happened. I got lean spiritually. And then I met a man named Charles Ware, a student at college. And he said, Bloom, don't worry about a wife. Just go forward with the Lord like a jet. And your wife will get caught up in your tailspin as you're going forward for the Lord. And that was hard for me to get a hold of. But once I got a hold of it, it happened just like he said. I think a lot of people, that's their problem. They don't seek a wife God's way. I'm saying that Satan is a thief, and he wants to steal from you. And so he'll get you to get into fornication, holding hands, leads to kissing, leads to making out. Leads to petting over the clothes, petting under the clothes, which leads right into doing what only married people are supposed to do. It's a gift from God for marriage. And it's blessed in marriage. But Satan knows that. So he will try to get you to sell out your virginity, your purity to Satan. If you've done it, you say, Pastor, I have no hope now. No, you can pay the devil back. And you can go back and be a virgin God's way from now on. Jesus can make you like Snow White and cleanse you. And you can go on and serve God. If you've lost a loved one, you can go on and follow Jesus. He's got a reason for you to be here. And pay him back by seeing what Satan is trying to do. He's trying to make you want to give up. He's trying to make you want to quit. No, God's got something for you. The thief, it says, cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. But he's trying to get you away from the zest for life that the Lord gives you. Because Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So you need to see what the thief is trying to take away from you. You know, people dull their senses by drugs. As we're coming into the last days, it says, neither repented they of their murders, that's abortions, nor of their sorceries, that is drugs, nor of their fornication, we just talked about that, nor of their thefts, Revelation 9:21. You see, the thief wants to take things that are good away from you and give you drugs to numb the pain, alcohol to numb the pain, fornication to make up for it. And he sells it as though this is a great lifestyle. He's a liar. He's a thief. He's a murderer. He's a destroyer. Man, don't listen to him. Don't buy his garbage, but it's all over everything. It's on YouTube. It's on the internet. It's on your computer that you hold in your hand. It's all around you. How to pay that thief back? By seeing what the thief takes from you. Number two, by seeing what the Savior gives you. He says, Jesus said in John 10:10b, I am come that they may have life. You know what the Lord came into the world to do? To give us back what the thief stole from us, to get it back. I was able to get back my cooler. Jesus was able to get back for everyone that's a believer in him eternal life that the devil had stolen from our first father. You know, that life that he gives you is that you're born again in your spirit. First, he gives you life in your spirit. When I got born again, my body didn't get born again. It's the same body. Same body. It didn't change. It's still a mortal body. People say, how you doing? I say, gloriously, but in a mortal body. See, I'm born again in my spirit. It's kind of like an AM, FM radio. You have an AM band and an FM band. The AM station can get certain AM stations. The FM can get FM stations. But sometimes you have a radio where one of the bands does not work and you can't get any stations. Well, before I was born again in my spirit, I had no contact with God. I could have dead religion, yes. I could go to church, yes. But I didn't have a real relationship with God. And that's the way you are until you're born again in your spirit. But when you see you're a sinner and you need Christ and you believe upon Christ, now you're born again in your spirit. You're able to be in touch with God and have a relationship with God. And, you know, there used to be a commercial, Coke adds life. Speaking of Coca-Cola. No, Jesus adds life. He animates your being. That's what life is. It's what animates your being. There are a lot of people have dead religion, but their being isn't animated by the life of God. There are people that have drugs, and drugs dull their senses, but they're not animated. There are people that are addicted to their cell phone or the YouTube channel or whatever it is that you're into, or gaming where you game all night and play games or something like that. That's not life. Life is being alive in your spirit. And you know what the GPS is, right? How many of you know what a GPS is? It's called God's prompting spirit. He prompts your spirit with His Holy Spirit to do what God says. And there are people, they don't have that life, and you need to have that life. And the Bible puts it this way in John 20, it says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, but they are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name." How do you get this life? It's simply you believe upon Jesus and you receive His offer of the gift of eternal life. That's how you get it. Jesus. That's how I got it. I saw who Jesus was. And I saw that He is the one that is God in the flesh, who made this world, who made it beautiful, and we lost it when Satan stole it from us and we gave in to him. But then He died on a tree, just like Adam took fruit from a tree and died. Jesus died on a tree to give us the fruit of eternal life. The tree of life, if you will, is the cross, where Jesus, God in the flesh, hung there and died. And He, by the way, He rose from the dead so that He can offer you a free gift. And it says that ye might believe in His name, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is the anointed Messiah of God that saves the world. He's the only one that can do that. It's kind of like getting married. My wife and I got married, and we were in a church, and I said, "I do." And she said, "I do." And we were married. That's what you need to do with Jesus. I do believe, and I do receive your promise of a new life. And we were married. Where'd the wedding ring come in? The wedding ring is when you get married to Christ by saying, "I do accept you." You put on the wedding ring. What's the wedding ring? That's you come forward and get baptized. It's just a symbol that I'm married. I can take this ring off. I'm still married. Or can I take it off? Yeah, I can take it off. I'm still married, right? I can give this ring to somebody else. Doesn't make me married to them. It's a symbol that I'm married. That's what baptism is. You should be willing to wear the ring. But first, you have to receive from Jesus His offer to you today of what you lost, seeing that you sinned and that you're going to go to hell, but that Jesus went through hell on the cross and He died and He was buried and He rose again, and He offers you eternal life, and then you receive that wonderful gift. All right, how do you pay the thief back? Number one, by seeing what he's stolen from you. Number two, by seeing what the good shepherd gives you. And number three, by seeing what the good shepherd gives you in addition to life. There's something else here. I want you to see it in closing. Notice what Jesus said, "I am come that ye might have life." But then He says, "that they might have it more abundantly." You see, Christ fed 5,000. But notice, when He fed the 5,000, they had only 5 loaves of bread from a little boy and 2 fish, fed 5,000 men. But wait a minute. He had how many baskets left over? 12 baskets left over. He is so rich, He gives you more than enough so that you can bless other people with your life. That's called life more abundantly. This man said to his child, his adult child, the devil stole everything from me. Pay him back. How do you pay him back? Well, you receive Christ as your Savior and get eternal life, but it's more than that. You get now to give back to others. You give the tithes. You give the offerings. You give the gospel. You give your time up to Jesus. You give your life to Jesus. And he takes it. And he flows through it. And that is what he says in John's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 38. He said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly, that's his spirit, shall flow trickles? No. Rivers of what? Living water. Yeah, that's what he wants. You see, some of you, you may have eternal life, but you've not yielded yourself to the Lord to let him flow through you out to others where you can serve God. Say, how can I do that? Well, for one thing, put on the uniform. Get baptized after you're saved. Then join a local church. Then get involved and help others. And he will use you in a way that you could not imagine. You know what? I don't have a lot of leisure time, but I'm glad I don't have a lot of leisure time. You know, some people, they get to be older and they want to have varicose veins and Bermuda shorts and push a shuffleboard in Florida or just hit the golf ball. I hit the golf ball, but not very good. Why? I don't have that much time to do it. Because I'm letting the Lord flow through me. And I want to let him flow through me more by giving up my life, giving it back to him, saying, you saved me from hell. I give it back to you. And that's not just once and for all, though you do it once and for all, but it's a life where you're continually dying so that you can live. Jesus went to the cross. He died so that he could give us life. A corn of wheat has to fall into the ground and die before it can help others. Hey, would I be here normally if it wasn't for Jesus doing what I'm doing? You know I wouldn't. I'm kind of a shy person. Somebody said one time to me, you're a shy man come out of himself. That's true. That's what Jesus does. He makes you come out of yourself so that you can have life not only for yourself, but more abundantly, so it flows out to other people so they can be saved and get baptized and have that life more abundantly. So some of you, you're bored. You're bored. And you know what the Bible says? You're bored because you're a backslider, according to the book of Proverbs. You're bored. But if you yield your life back to the Lord, you're not going to be bored. And some of you are getting into trouble because you have too much free time on your hands. And too much free time, you get enough rope to hang yourself and do things you shouldn't do. I talked to a girl one time. She said, I'm just bored. And then I got into this. Now she's hooked up and messed up and screwed up and ruined. Hopefully she'll come back to the Lord. I'm just saying this morning, what Jesus is saying to you, pay that thief back by seeing what he takes from us, by seeing what the good shepherd has given us in the gift of eternal life and receiving that gift, and then by seeing how you can have a life that's going to be blessing to many other people. Because that's why you're saved. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed, every eye closed.